Welcome to PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. This is your one-stop shop for non-toxic fandom.
Finally.
It is a place where we can celebrate the things we love, the arts, the media, the nostalgia, the cartoons, the toys, the video games, the fast food, the frozen dinners, and we could do it all without hating minorities. That's non-toxic. That's non-toxic fandom.
Yes. And it's also a safe space for non-toxic masculinity as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we practice vibrant masculinity.
Yes. And
Tony P. Shout out to Tony P.
Shout out to Tony P. in
DC. One of me and Vin's favorite Instagram influencers.
Yeah.
He practices non-toxic masculinity.
Good.
Yeah. Shout out to Kit Wilson, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wrestling thing.
Okay. Well, since we're shouting people out, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Mike Buongiorno. Y'all know me. I'm the host. I'm here with Mr. Vincent Forte.
Hello.
How many times have you been on this show?
A lot.
Like, no exaggeration. You think, like, in the hundreds?
No. Dozens.
Dozens,
for sure.
Over 100, right?
There's 400 episodes, or 430-ish episodes. So, no, maybe not, because he's not on every fourth episode.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a lot of fucking episodes.
This guy, I was on the first 100.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you were. Yeah. Yes, you were.
And Arno Moore, how'd that happen?
Well, Mike was like, Mike kicked me off afterwards. He was like, listen, you're on the road too much. You're not hanging out ingesting pop culture with me. You're not reading old Nintendo Power magazines.
Oh, he was big time in me.
You're not drinking Ecto Cooler anymore. No. I don't know who you are. You're a capitalist fuck. You want to just make money now. You don't want to buy toys.
You can't drink the regular tap water anymore.
I haven't done that in years. I don't even think he drinks tap water.
No good old municipal tap.
I do, but I put it through a Brita filter.
See, you fancy fuck.
And that is the voice of Mr. Emilio Sparks.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, Emilio?
I am loving anytime the boys just get together and just consummate their friendship.
Absolutely.
It's a good day. Yes. It's a good day to be a pop culture man child.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
Oh, can we give a quick PCMC behind the scenes, like tidbit of information back in the day. Do you remember, because I was thinking about this today, do you remember what we wanted to originally call the show?
Pop Culture Man Babies.
Yeah, or we just wanted to do Man Babies, but unfortunately it was taken.
Yeah, Zach Kreger was making a That's Man Babies show.
Son of a bitch.
And now he's fucking doing weapons. Yeah, he's doing weapons. He's the director of the motion picture weapons.
Oh, I thought you meant he was like
making weapons.
Crafting weapons.
He's followed Jordan Peele in the pipeline from sketch comedian to horror film director.
Yeah. What a weird career path. It's like the ha-has are done. Now it's time to now it's just time to be spooky. Let's write spooky shit.
I mean, it's an interesting pipeline. People do it.
I know. I wanted us to write a sitcom and pitch it or some sort of show, and you were like, I'm good. Come on, because we were talking about Scrubs and we were talking about Bill Lawrence.
Oh, yes.
Which is probably...
They brought back Scrubs. Well,
I was like, Mike, we can write a treatment. And he was like, no, I'm good.
No,
Scrubs? They already made it.
No, not Scrubs, Vincent.
I don't want to make a TV show.
You want to make a TV show about a mid-40-something man going through a life crisis?
God, no. Who wants to watch that?
A lot of people would actually watch that.
Maybe.
What streaming network would it be?
Oh, God, if I'm going straight for the Netflix. Oh. And if I can't get on Netflix, Apple TV.
Oh, they'll take
it. It's going to go straight to the little screens at gas stations.
Yeah. It's going to air in the back of cabs.
Yes.
Right, you just see me, because I would have to Stallone the whole thing, write it and star in it.
Of course. And work out.
And work
every
out.
Every day and make that part of the process.
Right, it would be like Tulsa King.
Yeah.
It's going to be on public.
Guys, basically, I just want to be Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah, you just want to be the Tulsa King.
Yes. The Tulsa King?
Yeah.
All right, well, today's...
We're the Tulsa Kings of... action figures.
Wow, that was a...
Thank you so much,
segue.
Ben.
Wow. You caught it. It was almost off your fingertips, but you caught it.
Thank you. Great job, Vin. That's right. Today, the three of us are together to talk about our favorite, not the best, not our objective belief of what is the best, although I gotta say, one on my list, I've been known to say is the Citizen Kane of action figures.
Oh, wow.
But...
I got one as the godfather of action figures.
It's... is our favorite action figure.
Yes.
You know, I'm beginning to... I, I think action figures, in a sense, anachronistic. Like, I think it was from, like, Star Wars to, like, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, the first iPhone.
It always goes to Star Wars.
Like, well, Star Wars does the little action figures, the three-quarter inches. And okay. That's what, and then He-Man and blah, blah, blah. And now they're kind of like, like for us, it was the definition of a toy, an action figure. And it's like,
it's not that no more.
It's not that.
Toys have gone to, if you notice, children are not playing with toys. I was dating somebody with two kids. They had zero desire to play with action figures until I brought over my action figures and we played with them. Roblox. It was Roblox. But the moment I bought my action figures over and I bought some wrestling figures and some superhero figures for the kid.
Oh, I loved it.
He was right in it.
It's sort of like role play. It becomes an avatar for you. Even without like role play toys, like, you know, whatever, like Batman's cape or, you know, a lightsaber. Like, you, through the figure, are, you know, playing out these scenarios. I do think kids do play with toys. I mean, you could argue that Roblox is, like, these are still toys.
Well, games are toys. But it's a digital thing where you're staring at a screen and you're not using your imagination. Back in the day, if you were a wrestling figure collector like I was, you would book your own fig fed. So you would have who's coming out and cutting the promo, who's going to do the squash match, who will be booking as the world champion, who's our intercontinental champion.
So it's interesting because, like, people always criticize this stuff as being, you know, so corporatized and stuff. But I do think it is imaginative play.
Well, that's a huge part of it, but I don't think children are that imaginative anymore because
they stare at a screen. I don't know if I'd agree. I don't know. That feels too old man yelling at cloud for me.
What do you think we are?
It's different. I want to celebrate what we had when we were kids, but I don't want to necessarily say that I think kids now.
Mike's afraid of dying and he wants to hang on to the memories of you.
Which is fine to hang on to the memories.
Like, one of the big contributors to the show is Janine Gagliardi and her husband Bill Gagliardi, who does the theme song. Okay. Their kids have action figures. I've seen them.
Yeah, well, that's because they're pop culture pundits as well. And they're nostalgia men and women babies. Because, again, it's about what they had, so they're going to influence their children.
Well, you know what? Maybe through some of our choices today, you, the listener, will decide to
go on eBay and buy some toys
for your kid.
Lots of toys.
Yeah, so I picked five. Like, we all picked five, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have a couple honorable mentions.
Me too.
We'll do five, and then we'll all do four, then we'll do three. We'll all count down to our number ones.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you have physical media with you?
Only one of the toys on my list I don't currently own and have. I just took a picture to show you, gentlemen. Although I think you'll know it.
Okay.
The rest I have, or caveat, I have a modern recreation.
Okay, now let me ask you that too. Now, when we have the modern stuff, are we just saying that it's the franchise, or are we saying it's supposed to be the thing we've played with, or what? What's the...
The modern things I have, right? It's like, this is... Take away the articulation. The original version of this.
Okay.
I have a new version of it.
Excellent. Okay, because I have... I went really old school.
Good.
And I had to dig for the toys in which I played with as a child. And I have a majority of them all, with the exception of one. But I made the one... one of my extra, like, side tangents.
Two of mine on my list, I do have the OG original release.
I'm proud of you.
Yes.
He brought none.
Nah, I did whatever the fuck.
Well, you don't collect.
You're not a collector, right? I'm not a big collector like you guys.
No, he don't have stuff. He don't have, he has nothing.
Well, you told me for this episode that I should go on eBay and buy all the toys.
What did we look up, and how much were they? $5? $11 for a lot?
But now I had to buy four more toys.
He might be on a budget. I don't know.
So you could have sold them afterwards. You could have kept
selling them afterwards.
That's a lot of... I've got to agree with it. This is a lot of effort for not even a video podcast.
Yeah, like, we're not even doing video. We're not showing it off.
You know what, Vin? Big wink. Just show... You've got them, right? Just show...
No, see, I don't believe in that. I believe if we're talking about the toys,
we don't fake shit.
We have to show the toys. Maybe I want to hold a Star Wars figure because I know you have one on your list.
See, this is why we need soundboards with Emilio, because it somehow becomes shouting. Always. It's so animated right now. It's so hot.
I get
I want to cool down a little bit. Talking about toys.
I get worked up over this.
I know you do.
Because I respect
you
the plastic.
You feel like every take's got to be a hot take. We can have cool takes.
We can have cool takes. But listen to me. Look me in the eye when I tell you this, okay? As I take my glasses off. I respect the plastic.
I do too.
I don't think he respects the plastic.
I don't.
I know, but he wasn't once a child.
Listen, we're full of microplastics from the last episode.
Was Vin Forte really a child? I just think he washed
up. I've seen the pictures.
I don't know. I think those are AI generated. I think
Vin was a little leaguer.
I think Vin washed up on the shore, a fully developed man.
Yeah.
With a beard.
With a beard.
And a record collection.
And a cassette collection.
Yeah. Well, today's...
He rather collect that.
Today, we'll see. I live in under such a pile of shit. I can't in good conscience tell anybody to do this. If you do this, I'm with you. But I wouldn't say to a healthy, functioning man, hey, go out and start collecting action figures.
No. I would, because I am extremely minimal in my life with the exception of this.
Yeah.
If I want it, I'm buying it.
If it were up to you, we'd be in a toy store right now, like live potting, buying the action
figures. Absolutely. Any way to
rest
get
in peace, Toys R Us.
Oh, my God. We had so many episodes where we
didn't they bring back Toys R Us? Kind of,
not really. Toys R Us is what they call the toy section in Targets, some Targets or something, or Macy's. There's a lot of bullshit. There's one technically that's out there that's called Toys R Us, but even that's like an Apple store with toys.
But see, kids...
It's weird, like, it's not aisles, it's like...
Kids won't understand or feel the joy when your parents will say, we're good, you did something good, we're going to reward you now with a toy.
Yeah. Or you're going, your mom's bringing you to the Staten Island Mall to buy, like, school clothes. You could go to KB and get a figure.
You get a fig.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
Oh, since I'm starting it off?
Since it's your show.
Speaking of fig.
All right, I'm starting it off.
You start your fig, boo.
You know what?
Is this number five?
Yes, this will be number five.
This is number five. I'm using my cool voice right now.
What's fig five?
What should I start with? God, I kind of love them all. Okay, I'll start with the one that I don't have.
Okay.
So, and I looked up the year that they came out and if they had a wave. So, my number five would be the glow-in-the-dark Swamp Thing from the 1991 to 1992 short-lived animated series Swamp Thing.
Was that the one with the tree trunk legs? Vincent had that. My brother Vincent had that.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever seen this, Vin?
No.
Great figure. Great figure. Swamp Thing was a line where a lot of them were just Swamp Thing in various...
Does it glow in the dark?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much. And it would glow, like, for a while. It's just, you know, I might as well bring this up now. I think even the smaller toys now, like, they've got, like, the... Every franchise has, like, the $15 to $20, like, larger scale figures with a lot of... Designs sometimes have multiple hands, multiple heads, and they're meant for collectors. I find those to be like little statues. I don't think they're toyetic.
Yeah.
I always go for more like toy figures. But even those types of toys nowadays, I think are too articulated. They're, you know, everything moves. Their heel moves, their wrist moves. This thing has 4 points of articulation. Even his head doesn't move because he's Swamp Thing. His arms move up and down and his legs move up and down. And he's a really solid mold. I don't think he does anything action-wise. He just glows in the fucking dark and he looks great. He's sort of like, the top of him is kind of a painted green on top. And then the rest of him, the base of him is like that sort of milky white glow-in-the-dark thing.
Yeah.
And so in a black light, he looked really cool. And I never watched this show, but I had these toys.
Oh, Swamp Thing, you make my heart sing. Ridiculous. That was the song.
Ridiculous.
That was.
That's my number five. So you said your brother had it.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of the, because again, I was a Swamp Thing nut. So we had Dr. Arcane, and then we had various other Swamp Things. So we had the glow-in-the-dark Swamp Thing. Then we had the regular one where if you would outstretch his fist, it was like on a piece of a track.
Yes,
string.
Yes.
We had that one. And then we had one where he was like a tree.
Yeah.
And it was like a greenish like sap looking one as well. It was Swamp Thing was a cool toy line.
Yes, it was.
What I didn't like, which most toy lines do, is like you need the Swamp Thing ATV,
yeah,
or the Swamp Thing hovercraft.
Well,
you didn't have those.
Those were in some ways better. Like that makes them more money. Like in some cases, these figures were like loss leaders. Like they'd hope you'd buy the figure so you would then go and buy one of these, you know, higher price point vehicles or playsets.
Vin, you want to go next?
Yeah. So my number five is a series of McDonald's action figures.
Okay.
From like the kids' meals. This is from 1997 and 98. Mm-hmm. They did Beast Wars.
Oh, okay. And these were in Happy Meals?
Yes. And I love these. I loved Beast Wars. That was my Transformers.
Okay.
And I could not afford the big Beast Wars toys.
Right.
But these were like, for kids' meals toys, like these were really fucking cool.
Did they have a transforming element to them?
Oh, yeah. No, like I'm showing you right here. Like, so this is them regular, like you see the spider in the front.
Okay.
And they and they can still transform. And okay. I kind of preferred that. Because the big ones had like so many different parts that could like fall off and like
right.
You had to put together. This was kind of like the perfect amount of articulation and like changing. So like I really liked it.
There was a time in the 90s where I think there were some really, really decent toys coming from Kids Meals. Like I'm a big fan of Universal Monsters. The Universal Monsters from Burger King's, those are still considered like real, like an amazing line.
Yeah.
They're like great figures.
Yeah. And like you see some of the toys they do now in kids' meals and it's like cardboard cutout.
It's such bullshit now. It's horrible now.
And if they do have like real old school like kids' meal toys,
yeah,
it's like an upcharge.
Yes. Yeah. I know. It's such bullshit. Yeah, that's really cool. You know what else was good? McDonald's had the Power Ranger movie figures. They looked more movie accurate than the actual toy line.
Yeah, and those came with like the animal vehicles.
Yes. Yeah, there was a time where like they got really good with it. And also I think the Muppet Babies line one day we'll do an episode on just kids' meal toys.
Well, you know what? One of the best kids' meal toys ever, Donald's, when that awful Inspector Gadget movie came out.
Yes.
They did a thing where if you collected all the toys,
yes,
you could put it together into an Inspector Gadget like figure that was like a dollar, like this big. Only problem is that it was like basically a Matthew Broderick doll.
Right.
Do you remember that they
he drunk drove and killed another one of your toys?
Do you remember that McDonald's also did the crossover with the DC superheroes with the Looney Tunes?
Yes.
So that was another thing that I liked, where it was like the Tasmanian Devil was Flash.
Yes.
And you could take him in and out of the costume. It was just hard.
Bugs
plastic.
Was Superman.
Well, that was Superman. Like high time for Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
You'll put Looney Tunes on clothes.
Yeah. What's your number five?
So my number five is the 1990s Marvel Toy Biz line. So
you're doing whole lines.
Yeah.
I picked figures.
Well, I'm doing lines because, well, why not do a line?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. Where is the one more? Hold on. I have the Silver Surfer in here as well. Okay, hold on. We got you. Where is Norrin Rad?
Who? I remember these lines. Who?
Okay, so Toy Biz.
Toy Biz, yeah.
So in terms of toyetic, they're not really toyetic, right? The arms really don't move. The knee has a knee joint. The Toy Biz, they stand very well. They're still they're solid hunks of plastic.
See,
I wish I had the accessories because I don't anymore. And I had a ton of the Toy Biz 90s line. So the Hulk.
Yeah, very cool. Stout. I like a stout figure.
So
like it feels good in your hand.
So Hulk and Silver Surfer were part of Wave 1 in 1990.
I got him in 1990 Christmas.
And he came with a board.
Yes,
and
if
you were to track the board and retract it and let it go, the board would go through your house.
Yeah.
The Hulk came with a piece of metal that was bendy plastic.
Yes.
And a plastic boulder.
I also had the Captain America from this line.
Captain America had the shield that would fly with the retractive. Yeah. So and then you had Spider-Man who would stick to the wall.
Yes.
And then they had a couple of villains. They had a couple of villains, which I think was Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
And they had Dr. Doom. So it was a very interesting line. And then Daredevil, this version of Daredevil, because they had Daredevil that was just in the red suit.
Yeah.
Then they had this Black. Weird alternative 1994 version that they released as well. So I have that one as well. And then I had the Punisher with the Punisher van with all his explosives and weapons to kill people. And yeah, so that's my number five.
I have a point to make and a question to ask.
Yes.
My point to make is I love a stout figure. Like, it feels good in your hand. I think people think about playing with action figures as, like I was just saying, role-playing. Like, look at me, I'm the Hulk, fuck you. But I think action figures are also like fidget toys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I still, as a grown man, will just play with an action figure like a fidget toy.
Yes, same.
The other thing, what I wanted to ask you was, what's your definition of the term toyetic? Because I feel like there's a lot of different definitions out there. We know, I think, Kenner was the... Was it Kenner that came up with it?
Yeah.
With it? For me, I would say anything that encourages playability is toyetic.
Well, I just... You know what I didn't like? Especially when you're looking at the shoulder socket of the Hulk.
Yeah.
It's you can't lift up things and throw them, and the hands don't open and close. It's just a solid... Like, his hands are just solid together.
Right.
With a hole through them. So you couldn't throw the boulder, but you could put the plastic bendy pipe in and you can do that.
But I can make the argument
that... And there's no bend in the elbow. The knees bend well.
But I could make the argument that when you have, and I have some of this on my list, but when you have figures that have a mechanic, like it just does that mechanic. Whereas with the imagination, you can make that Hulk do anything.
And I did. And this is why, if you look at them, they're kind of all beat to shit. Because
yeah,
I actually...
They've been loved. They're well-loved.
They're well-loved. And they were well taken care of. And they were well played with. And I had this entire line. I'm so mad that I don't know where the rest of them were. Because I was just a fiend for this line. To the point where my parents would also go out and give me the X-Men version. And the Fantastic Four version.
Yeah.
As well. To me, I think the toy biz line... I know a lot of fans love... you know, what they do now with the Hasbros and the Marvel Legends series. But I think if they were to actually do a run of Marvel 90s toy biz figures, I think they would be super successful.
That's what I was saying before. Like, the Legends line, it's too, like, statues for me. Like, to me, it's kind of...
perfect.
It's counterintuitive. They say, like, oh, we have adult collectors. Let's make these premium toys. But for me, it's like, then that's not a toy. A toy is something tangible. It's something toyetic, something you could play with and smash around.
You want it like you knew it.
Yeah, like I want it. Yeah. I always go for, unless it's a character that doesn't exist in any, and I really want that character, I'll always go for the more child-branded, cheaper.
Yeah, I've been pricing lots for these on eBay now, and they're not expensive at all. I think you're getting, so for this one on eBay, this entire lot is $60, and it comes with just a litany of toys and accessories.
Yes, yes.
You're getting Deadpool, Mr. Sinister,
and
Cable, Green Goblin.
And look how they stand, though. With the modern articulation, you can't get these fuckers to stand.
No, they fall over.
I had this Punisher. What did he do? Did he spark or something?
Yeah, you would put a cap in the back, and you would click the back,
like,
and it would...
Like Karg from He-Man had the same thing.
Papa,
the exact opposite of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I don't like those, like, Super 7 figures.
Well, that's a weird, like, memory. That's, like, nostalgia from memory that never existed. Like,
yeah.
A lot of them are things that never were real. Like,
but, like, those are just, like, they're too generic.
Right. I guess they're trying to be, like, the very first line of Star Wars toys.
Right.
Where they're, like, there's not even any action in the pose. They're just sort of like dead, like...
Yeah, like his lightsaber is just a stick that shoots out. Like,
yeah.
I get what they're going for, but it's like, at a certain point, it's like, okay, give me $50 for this. Like, yeah, but no.
Right. No, yeah. All right, very cool. What? So, my number five. All right, so my number five... Sorry, my number four. Thank you, Vincent. So, here's the weird thing. This is my number four favorite, but I would say, if I was saying objective, I'm saying I think it's the best action figure ever. And that's Skeletor.
Oh.
So this is an Origins remake of Skeletor. He's got better articulation. But the original Skeletor is the Citizen Kane of action figures. the color of the blue, the muscle. I mean, just the image, right? He's a muscly, a blue muscly man with a skull face.
Yeah.
Sexy man.
It's perfect.
It is.
This is.
It's perfect in creation.
So I always say this is the Citizen Kane of action figures, and him along with He-Man, which were the same body mold. Together, it's like perfect salt and pepper shakers. These went so well together.
Absolutely agree.
But as favorites, it's number four on my list. But it's still...
They have weight to them.
Yes, they do. They have weight to them. And remember, what they're doing is, Mattel at the time is trying to be different from Star Wars. Like, Star Wars creates this action figure line, and this action figure craze. So they're like, how can we be better? Well, let's make our guys really fucking...
Jacked. Just make them big.
Yeah.
Make them thick boys.
Yeah, yeah. Skeletor.
Love it. It's a great one.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Absolutely.
My number four is something you kind of hit on almost with the, like, you buy this figure and it's like, what Swamp Thing didn't have this.
Yeah.
The 90s Batman Returns and Batman the Animated Series variants.
Yes.
Yes.
Where it would be like...
just a Batman, million Batman figures.
Arctic Batman, Deep Dive Batman, Jungle Tracker Batman, Hydro Charge Batman. The fuck are we doing? Batman never had these.
Well, no, I mean, if he's going to go into the jungle...
He's holding a gun in like half of these.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so weird because there must have been some sort of a corporate mandate of... Kids love Batman, like kids want Batman. So
right.
Don't just make one Batman in toys. We have to have some Batman always on the shelf. But then you also have, these weird Batman that are like green and blue and purple. Although, you know, it doesn't match what's in the film, but looking back now, they're cool designs.
Oh yeah, like they're great. It always felt like, because again, you didn't really have the internet yet. So when you saw these things in the wild and you had like look at it, each of them has like key art on the top. It's like original, almost like Bruce Timm style design.
Yeah.
So it's like, you see it and you're like, well, wait a minute, what's this?
Yeah, yeah.
What is this like weird alternate universe?
And I think that was good marketing for parents because I don't think kids were going up to, because we would have just grabbed, or maybe just me, I would have grabbed the Michael Keaton Batman and that would have been it.
With the
retractable belt.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
I would have went straight.
You know, I think parents when they're walking around aimlessly and not knowing what to get the kid, but the kid wants a Batman figure. Oh, let me get Arctic Freeze Batman.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me get Jungle Fury Batman. Oh, it comes with more accessories.
These reek of like your aunt got you a Batman.
Which is cool because I used to get those and I have several variants downstairs in one of my toy chests. That I remember it. I had the white one, and then there was a purple one.
I'm misremembering this. Wasn't there in like the early 2000s like a really cool Batman cartoon where he would do shit like this? Was it The Brave and the Bold, or was it?
Are you thinking of the Batman?
Yeah, did he dress up in weird shit like this and that? Maybe I'm misremembering.
Maybe.
I feel like I remember there was some version of Batman. That I felt like, I remember watching being like, oh, this is like their BC. Because every
You're probably thinking of Brave and the Bold. That was the like wackier one.
Okay. Maybe that's where it's fun to think that Batman's going to be like, I guess Lego Batman does that a little bit too. Like, oh, I'm going to the Arctic. Let me get my blue suit.
Well, I get my Arctic gun.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the things that the cartoon, the animated series kind of missed, even though they would release variants of Batman as well. They never deviated from what we've seen on the television show.
Yeah. Those were great figures.
Those are extremely well done figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to add that, but I knew Vin was going to do Batman, so I didn't want to do the same Batman. I didn't want to go to the animated series.
Crossing is good.
Okay.
Yeah, but I had a lot of the Returns line.
Yeah.
The Catwoman was a great Catwoman. Because that actually looked very movie accurate.
Do you remember there was like a playset that was like the Penguin's Lair? And it was like gigantic. Or it felt gigantic as a kid.
Was that the one where it was Wayman on the front and on the back it was something different?
Maybe. Like something like that.
I know one interesting thing was they had the same Wayne Manor, like seven different releases, like Batman 1, Batman 2, Batman Forever, Batman Robin.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, they just kept putting it out with different things. Very cool. Okay, so,
Amelia, what's your number four?
All right, so, my number four, even though I do not have with me the actual, like, ones that I wanted to, because I could not find them, I'm going to go with the LJN Thundercats line.
That was Dr. Zaius for a second.
So these are...
Talk about stout.
Yeah, these are...
These are big boys.
These are from LJN from 1985.
Wow.
This is Slythe and Monkey. I don't know where the Lion-O or the...
It's just a smell of the plastic.
Yeah, and my Mum-Ra went, but some reason I have Mama just chilling downstairs.
I had that little, like, layer, the big fuck.
The ancient spirits of evil. And what I noticed when I was digging through my toys, I also had, what was cool about these ones, they also had minifigures that you can buy with the mini playsets. So I have a whole bunch of other mini ones as well. And what was cool about these is if you press the back, look what happened. Now that is toyetic, Gatti.
They all jerk off.
Yeah, they all jerk off. But that was just to bring down the weapon. And again, I wish I had the weapons and Monkey Man had this like incredible hat.
People 3D print them.
I guess I would have to look for those, but you know, that's...
I don't remember this character, Monkey Man.
Yeah, he was one of them.
He's quite a hairy man.
He was part of the mutants.
This is like, this feels...
There was
hurting like...
There was Monkey Man.
You could hurt somebody with it.
Oh yeah, I used to beat...
Like, this is like hurting your finger.
Oh man, I used to chuck these at Vincent all the time when I was kids.
Oh my God, he's fucking up the Marvel guys.
He's jerking off the Punisher.
Yeah, I used to throw these at Vincent when I was a kid. Not Vin Forte, my brother Vincent. But yeah, they had Jackalman. They had Hyena, and they had all of those. And then but then the Thundercats also had the Panthro and the other ones. So I couldn't find these anywhere when I was trying to vintage shop. So I found Savage World, which was a Funko version of them, where they're shaped like your Masters of the Universe figures.
Okay.
And they're just these solid blobs of muscular plastic that really don't do anything. And I didn't want to get the whole line. So I only got a Panthro and a Lion-O. But I was going to show those, but I thought, you know what? Let me keep it to the source material as original as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what was cool about the Transformers, what was cool about the Thundercats line
who were the...
LJN.
LJN.
So this was a completely different look from what I was used to in regards to the WWF action figures from LJN at the time,
which were just fucking dog toys.
Just solid big rubber guys.
They used to joke, they would call them dog toys.
Yeah, they would.
I got to say, I know you love them, toyetic, your heart, whatever.
Yeah.
From an objective perspective, they're the worst figures ever.
The LJNs, a lot of people would fight you to the death.
I know, but it's literally just dog toys. They're chew toys.
I don't prefer them. So
I like the other one, the smaller guys.
I don't prefer, that's on my list, but I don't prefer those at all. I do prefer the Hasbro versions better. Just because I did not want a Hillbilly Jim or a Don Morocco action figure. I wanted a Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man figure.
Who's the kid that wanted a Don Morocco action?
There's kids out there that wanted Don Morocco. My buddy Chris Romano wanted a Don Morocco.
All right, well, my number three, this one may not mean anything to you guys, but it was a big figure for me in my life. This is the 1992 Ripley figure from the canceled...
Original Alien 3?
No, from... Operation Aliens, an animated series that they did a pilot of, and then eventually they were like, it's too violent a franchise to, but they still made the toys. So this doesn't really look like Ellen Ripley from the movies. It doesn't look like Sigourney Weaver, but it looks like how she would have been animated. But there's something very cool. Let you guys could describe it when I show it to you.
Well, you would hook the weapon into her hip there, so when you turn her, it comes out, flamethrower.
And they're very much based off of
the
Aliens line. And there was a Hicks figure, and then also this line is famous for having a million different variants of aliens. There's the shark alien, and the praying mantis alien, and the alien queen, and the alien spider, and it was just all these amazing designs.
Yeah, I had like...
And they would come with face huggers.
Frost alien, it was like a translucent blue alien.
Yes. I have a lot of them still. This wasn't the original one that I had, but this is an original one that I got.
Is that supposed to be Sigourney Weaver?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a weird head sculpt. That's what her cartoon... I like the head sculpt because it's almost like... The wind's in her hair. Like, she's, like, very action. There's a lot of movement to it.
I do like the movement to it.
She's fucking up aliens.
She is fucking up aliens. And, like, her head moves with the body. This is a good...
It would have been...
A light figure, though.
It's very light. Yeah. I do wish
they had made this cartoon. Because imagine like a 90s cartoon of fucking aliens, just fucking up aliens. The reason why I brought the accessories was because I feel like the accessories really made this. The facehuggers, I don't know if you've ever seen the movies, the facehuggers go on their face and then impregnates them. And then the
you know, it's funny that you mention accessories because I think they are the things that really make the action figure the action figure. I don't think you can have a Monkey Man and a Slythe, but if you don't have the long axe that you that came with Slythe or Monkey Man's mace and helmet, like they feel rather incomplete.
I think it depends on the franchise.
Like I don't, I can't find Silver Surfer surfboard. All right.
Well,
Surfer should. Well, yeah,
the surfboard for Silver Surfer is essential. But like as a Star Wars toy collector, I have a million and one random blasters that are just interchangeable and garbage.
Right. Like I would argue, it's like when people talk about certain food, where it's like, this chicken with the sauce is good. But the chicken should be able to stand on its own without any accoutrement.
Yes, that is a good metaphor. I think it depends on the franchise.
I don't know, man. I think it adds, and again, maybe it's just because I have completist tendencies when it comes to my action figures, but I do think it's a well-rounded toy when you still have the original accessories. Like, I don't know if I want to do a 3D print of the helmet and the mace because it just doesn't feel right.
Right. Well, in particular, that line, the accessories were really, they're all very bespoke. Every accessory felt like it could only be for that person.
Exactly. Because when they would fight the Lord of the Thundercats, it was like a, not it, that it was like a sandals and sword kind of television show, but the weapons played a vital part in the battles where it wasn't normally just hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
A lot of the Marvel, like, cartoons from that time, it was fine. Like, I don't have Daredevil sticks, but I can, you know, you can randomly throw anything and it'll be fine. But, you know, I don't have the Hulk throwing a bullet because, like you said, we could just pick up a car and throw the car. You know what I mean? So,
right.
But when it comes to this LJN line of the Thundercats, I think you need the weapons to offset during the battle.
I agree. I understand. Well, nothing, when you were a kid, what was more heartbreaking than losing an accessory?
Oh, I felt.
I mean, maybe just because I was had OCD and same. I didn't know it yet. But
especially
like,
if you had something that like was a gun that shot out, and then you lose like the little BBs or whatever.
Yeah. Or the little like dart thing. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, like I had a Fred Flintstone from the movie.
Nice.
Like, came with like a bunch of bowling balls so you could throw.
Those
it, like,
were good toys.
Set.
What's your number three, Vincent?
Okay, so my number three is the evil putty. From Power Rangers.
Yeah, man.
Because people don't know, specifically with the toy.
I just gasped.
Did you hear that?
This is like one of my favorite toys because I would make all my other action figures fight this piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because when you hit the Z on its chest, all of its arms, limbs, and head just fly off.
See, it's interesting that that's one of your favorites because there's a word. What do they call those toys? Troop builders?
Yes. Like the Foot Clan and the Putty Patrol.
Putty Patrol, the Stormtroopers in Star Wars. Often people deride those types of figures.
Yeah.
But that was one you really loved.
Yeah, because it was so dynamic. Like, again, you could have your guy like punch it and then like his head would fucking fly off into his face.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, there's also a subculture in the collecting where people just get those type of figures. Like, I'm in
millions.
Right, I'm in several toy group, message boards and group pages on Facebook where they'll just collect the Evil Horde, and it's just those robots, or they'll collect the Putty Patrol, and they'll collect the Foot Clan,
just to put a bunch of them out,
and that's all that they like shelves and shelves of them.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, that is obsessive compulsive.
But as a kid, you always kind of wanted that, right? Because you would always, they'd kill at least six putties.
Yeah.
Easy. But they would probably have, if you go back and watch
they were cannon fodder.
Oh, yeah.
Those poor guys had no existence.
No, but they were, because.
But for a moment.
Yeah.
Because Rita would make them.
Yeah.
And they would just do like flips and rolls. Yeah. And they would be like. There'd be hundreds. There'd be hundreds of them. And they'd be like,
doing a really bad.
They wouldn't even morph sometimes.
No, they would just like. Once they found out that you could punch them in the chest,
yeah.
they combust the Putty Patrol. And
was that the Zed ones?
Yes.
Yeah, because of the Z. And then they had the Gear ones. You remember, like, every villain after that had their own
putties.
Their own version of the minions.
Remember the bird ones from the movies?
Yeah.
Ivan Ooze's bird? Yes. Yeah.
So to me, it was always like, if you have the entire line of the Power Rangers,
yeah.
right? You have all five.
Yeah.
You need at least 10 putties.
Yeah.
But your parents weren't buying you 10
putties.
I'm not buying you
the same fucking thing I just bought you.
I bought you one already.
Yeah.
You can use that one and pretend that there's 10 of them.
Yeah.
Use your imagination.
I remember when I was, this isn't an action figure, but I was a kid when GAC came out. Nickelodeon GAC. Well, I remember being, my dad got me a GAC. It was like the pink GAC. And I was like, Dad, can we go get another GAC? And he was like, what do you mean? I just got you a GAC. And I was like, yeah, but there's a yellow and a blue. And he was like, I'm not getting you every fucking GAC that there is. and then my funny uncle was like, you got to get every one.
You got to get all the GACs.
You got to get all the
ones. You drop the GAC on the carpet.
Oh, and then that was it for the GAC. That was it for the carpet. That's disgusting. It.
Okay, so before I get into.
Your number three.
My number three. Side quest tangent one?
Sure.
Do we know what this is?
I don't.
This is from the short-lived Chuck Norris Karate Commandos toy line.
Oh, wow. This feels racist.
He's a samurai.
He's a sumo wrestler.
Sumo man.
Yep.
I think he's samurai because of the haircut thing. I don't remember this.
Chuck Norris Karate Commandos came out in 1986. It was one season. And you had, the premise was Chuck Norris leads a team of elite operatives, including a samurai, a sumo wrestler, and a tech expert.
Oh, he was a good guy.
Yes, to fight global terrorism.
Who else is going to fight terrorism besides?
Yes. Yeah. And this is Tabby.
Tabby?
Or Tubby.
Oh, come on, guys.
But it's T-A-B-E. And he was a sumo champion.
He's actually pretty skinny for a sumo.
And I had two versions of Chuck Norris.
Okay.
I don't know where those are. And I had two versions of the evil Super Ninja. He was a black and gold Super Ninja. And then there was the Super Ninja, which was just yellow and purple.
Yeah, Tubby's not that... Like, what he does he do? He looks like he has a grinder profile. Like,
what did he do? He seems to have some sort of mechanism to him.
So I would use Tubby. So basically, when I had a whole bunch of other random toys, I made an intergalactic wrestling figure fed.
Okay.
And he was one of my super heavyweights. So that's why there's a lot of battle damage on Tubby. So the Chuck Norris Karate Commando line. Shout out to Kenner. But yeah, no, yeah. I don't think you guys even... The look on your face is rather quizzical. You were like, what is this?
This is not a franchise I was...
No.
Even as a kid, I was like, I don't like that Chuck Norris.
And Chuck Norris made him wear an outfit with...
Well, I don't think...
He's
like,
my name is Steve.
He's like, your name's Tubby.
Well, I don't think... I don't think...
Wear my name on it.
Yeah, but I don't think Chuck Norris really had anything to do...
He didn't voice himself?
I don't think Chuck Norris Karate Commando did. Voiced himself as the leader of the Karate Commandos.
Walker says I've got AIDS.
And they also did wraparounds as well. Yeah. The series follows the same framing device as Mr. T. At the beginning of each episode, a live-action segment with Norris, usually at a gym or a martial arts studio, is shown to explain what is going on. And at the end of each episode, Norris narrates a moral lesson for the audience to learn.
Yes.
That was Karate Commandos in a nutshell. And take a guess how many episodes?
I'm going to say 8.
Wow, I was just going to say 8. 5?
It's 5. That's all they released. It came, it went, and they had a whole entire toy line.
Right, like, look at this. My alien is from... It didn't even come out. The cartoon didn't even come out.
What year was that figure?
92.
This was... Look at the size difference between Tubby and whatever.
Yeah, Ripley.
Ripley.
What year is he?
86.
86. Yeah. So that was an honorable mention. What's your number three?
So the honorable... Yeah, that's my honorable mention. So the number three... is in the same line as the Toy Biz, but these are the Kenner's superpowers line.
Okay.
And I, again, I don't know where the rest of them are. And when my mother, when I speak to my mother, I'm going to be like, where are my toys? Did you throw them out? And then she'll yell, of course not. I would never do that. So I go, where are they? I don't know. They'll be somewhere in the basement. But I said, I looked in the basement. The toys aren't in the basement. So where are the toys? So I had Superman, Lex Luthor, and Super. I had two vehicles as well. But I had this entire line. I also think I have a Penguin in this bag, just to show you the difference in the Penguin. Let me see.
Yes, I do. After we record, send me pictures and send your screenshots so I can use them.
So, Vin, like you said, there was different Penguin variants.
They used him a lot, though. They used him in Returns, and they painted him black.
And they painted him black. I had the black one, and he had, like, this gun.
Nothing like Danny DeVito.
No. But he had the gun, like, gun umbrella. Hat.
Umbrella.
Yeah. Well, the Danny DeVito one was scary. This one, is a child going to be scared of this? He's just dressed like the mayor.
That's the real Tubby.
It's interesting that it was tied into Batman Returns, and it wouldn't look like it at all. I mean, they did the same thing with the first Batman. The Joker in that line was the same Joker.
Well, he looks like the one from the comic, the 66 TV show. Quah, quah, quah.
So the figures you've brought out here are Green Lantern and Flash.
Yes, these
are. What does Flash do?
So if you
wind him up.
If you wind him up, go ahead, wind them up. Wind them from the back. And so when it was working, it was like his arms would move extremely quickly.
Oh, like he's like running?
Yeah, like give it, yeah, that he's running.
Okay. Jerk it off two guys really fast.
He's doing the Flash.
Why does it always go to masturbation?
Because we're children.
Why does it always go to that?
Because we're dumb children.
So yeah, these were the Kenner ones.
What did he do? What did Green Lantern
do? So the Green Lantern, it also came with your own Green Lantern ring.
Yeah.
But what it used to have was a long, like black hard piece of plastic, that, and then another lantern piece that you would pump with water, and then you would squeeze it, and water would shoot out of the ring.
One of those situations.
Yes, and so this line was from 84 to 86.
You really play with these. They could barely. I mean, they're barely worn out.
Yeah. Dog, when I tell you, I absolutely loved this line. This line to me was top notch as a kid. I just could not get over it. Because again, maybe it was different. Like the Toy Biz line, you weren't getting a cartoon in when they were making these.
Yeah.
It only happened later on. In the 80s, you were getting some sort of toy line, some sort of cartoon that went with these.
Yeah.
To a degree, whether it be Super Friends,
yeah.
Whether it be, you know, the Batman Superman Hour, like you got and each week you would have a different person with it.
Mm.
So, you know, I had all of them, and I even had the Batman and the Robin. And the only problem was with those was the capes, they would fall off.
Remember they had that little ring.
Yeah. The little ring.
Yeah.
So the only thing I'm trying to figure out is what wave So Flash and Green Lantern came out in 1984.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had the original line was Superman, Batman, Robin, my Green Lantern, my Flash. Aquaman, Hawkman, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor, Brainiac, Joker, and my Penguin. So they, and then there was like, additionally after that, there was 33 action figures altogether. And then there was play sets, and then there was vehicles as well. But you didn't need these weird Superman vehicles because, again, Superman flies.
Yeah, why does he need a car?
Right. Or why did he need
Remember
a spaceship?
The Spider-Man car?
Yeah.
It came with the Spider-Man.
So I have that. Didn't know if I was going to do that because I don't know where it was, but it was a car that was shaped like a triangle and it had two big wheels on the back and then a spinning top thing on the top of it that you would press it and it would whirl.
Yeah.
As like his weapon.
Yes.
But again, Spider-Man is a teenager with no money.
Right.
He did not have a car.
Right.
Would he need a car? And why would the car be a red triangle painted in a spider web?
No, why would he want people to know this is Spider-Man?
Right. He could. I mean, also he, you know, web slinging.
He's supposed to be web slinging. So there was also
they were like, hey, you know, the Ecto-1 sold. So
So I was going to do an honorable mention as well with this, but they had the Secret Wars.
Yes.
Action figures that kind of were in rival to the
I remember
to
that.
The Kenners, and while they were, I don't know, Mike, what do you think? 3 and 3?
Yeah, it's about that scale.
Yeah, 3 and 3? So they had those, but they were solid plastic and they never really moved. There was no toyetic articulation in the knees, in the arms, or whatever. So I didn't really want to show that one. But you want to talk about also playing with it? My God, I was so obsessed with Spider-Man as a kid that the paint is completely off of the Spider-Man. But yeah, so these are my, this is my number three, the Kenner superpowers.
So my number two, oh, we're getting close, folks. We're getting close. My number two is from 1988, the Ray Stantz Fright Features Ghostbusters figure. You press his arms and he gets Now,
did you have the Venkman as well?
I had, and I currently have them all. Now, so
original, or did you have to buy them again back in the day?
This is the new ones.
Okay,
but I of course had the originals. So the Fright Features, they all have a thing that they do that makes them. So with Ray, you press his arms, his ears pop out, and his hair like comes up, and his eyes are painted. So when the hair goes up, they extend. So it's like he's scared. He saw a ghost, and he's scared. This was actually the first figures that I'm reading a whole book right now in the history of the real Ghostbusters, because you do, as you do. So this was the first figures they made. And then they were like, you know what? Let's make cheaper, just regular, the four guys to put them out first. So these were the first ones. And then they made the ones we think of as the traditional Ghostbusters. Now, what I always liked about this my whole life was, despite this being for the real Ghostbusters, this is the only figure that looks like they look in the movie. He's wearing a tan suit and he's got on the Ecto goggles.
Oh, that's true.
Right? He looks more like Ray of the movie than any other toy ever did. And, you know, they would go, Ghostbusters was a great line because you'd have a wave of the four Ghostbusters and they had, you know, five or six different waves, you know, ones that glow in the dark, ones that had different features, the Screaming Heroes feature where they'd all like scream in some way. But then there's also tons and tons of ghosts that were always coming out.
A license to print money, because you can just always do new ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Constantly. So,
and
great line.
The Ghostbusters firehouse.
Oh, my God. Come on. The best playset, I think.
Yeah.
The best playset.
I think that Cat's Lair, the Castle of Lions from Voltron, and honestly, Snake Mountain over Castle Grayskull.
Snake Mountain over Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, because I think, yeah, because it had that walkie-talkie feature, and it would,
yes,
it would make your voice sound like this.
Yes.
So I like that, but no, I think even I still have it. It's in my shed.
Yeah.
The firehouse.
Wow. It was huge. I mean, it had different.
Do you have the original firehouse?
No, I don't.
I'm shocked.
Janine and Bill do, and their kids play with it.
They're great parents.
They're doing it right.
They really are.
Yeah.
Janine, do me a favor. I want to see photos of this. Send me your toys, Janine.
You know, Janine, stop what you're doing right now.
Stop what you're doing.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah. Mother of the year. Can we make her something out of like construction paper and elbow macaroni that says she's mama?
Make her like the turkeys. Like,
yes.
The hand
turkey. We're all make Janine a turkey with our thumbs.
We're going to do that. Let's do it.
Oh,
you keep on knocking down the figures, bud.
I'm so sorry.
Well, Penguin's he's oddly shaped.
Yes, he's got a weird shape.
Well, he's very bottom heavy in the cheeks.
He's the real tubby.
But he has very little legs, but he has a big caboose and a big belly.
He's very Teddy Roosevelt.
One more thing I want to say, which is what I really appreciated also about the real Ghostbusters line was they named their waves, and it wasn't just like a name that was like on the thing. It would say Fright Features or Screaming Heroes. Like, they made a big deal out of every wave. And I miss that.
My number two is, this was kind of like a multimedia. It was a cartoon, but it was also maybe more notably like a series of trading cards.
Okay.
As Skeleton Warriors.
Oh, wait. I think I remember those.
Skeleton Warriors and the cards were like these hyper detailed. Yeah. And they always came up like a holographic one.
Yeah.
Like, they were really cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, the figures were, I mean, you talk about accessories, like these
what
things.
What year is this?
This is like 94, 95, the mid-90s. And again, there was a cartoon, but there's like a whole like tier of cartoons in the 90s that were like, it wasn't on a major network. It was like syndicated cartoon.
Yeah.
There was no set, like, oh, it's on at 7 p.m. on this day.
James Bond Jr.
James Bond Jr. Cowboys of Mumesa.
Yeah, yes.
Bucky O'Hare. Yeah. Like, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And Skeleton Warriors is right up there.
Well, you just reminded me. Have you seen that in the new Mario movie? Star Fox is in it?
Yes.
That's a very cool. Emilio, what are you doing for number two?
Okay.
So,
what's your runner-up?
Number two.
He just pulls out a giant black dildo.
Holy Walnuts action figures.
He says he's an interior decorator. But his house looks like shit. These are what I was talking about.
The WWF Hasbro action figures of the 90s.
I had these, and I wasn't even a wrestling kid, really.
See, that's what like you wish the LJN figures were.
This shit was good. Very toyetic.
Extremely toyetic. And they had when like Bret Hart would do the thing where he'd punch you with the uppercut. Warrior had the Gorilla Slam arms. Hogan had the bear hug. There were several different versions of the Warrior. There were several variants.
Warrior's guy, he's very like gropey.
Hulk Hogan had several variants as well. Macho Man Randy Savage. Had, well, yeah. And they were just well sculpted.
Yes. Like a lot of them had that thing where you could like throw somebody over your.
It was the action. It was all about the action for me. But also, too.
And the ring. I remember the ring.
I have all of this shit. That's all that's downstairs. I have all of that still. I have a plethora of these Hasbro WWF figures.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to tell you what wave.
I like that they gave him the weird.
But that was his that was his abs.
I know. But like, it's a good detail to give the weird abs.
It was a nice homage.
You gotta get the nips.
You gotta get the nips.
So, okay. So this Warrior came out in 1992. Yeah, no, 1991. He was the second wave.
Yes.
This was the second variant of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
This was with the Ultimate Slam. So I remember for my seventh birthday, I got Warrior, Hogan, Piper, Boss Man, Beefcake, and Ted DiBiase. Then I got, later on, I just started collecting these things, and I was just hungry for these things. I wanted the two-pack, which would always come with the tag team, but I just could never find them. And the big thing that I wanted was the 12-inch talking Hogan and Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to me,
the Hogan say the N-word?
Yeah, he would do. You pull his back, and he's like, "Brother," and then Warrior would just do some sort of homophobic rhetoric, because that's what those guys were, and they've tarnished their legacies, and you know, wherever they are, they're burning. Let's just put it that
Warrior's
way.
Warrior's in Warrior U.
Warrior's dead too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
His heart beat its last beat.
When did we lose him? When
like
did we
15 lose him years ago?
I don't know where it was. I missed that.
Yeah.
I thought he was still going around doing stuff.
No, our friend, may he rest in peace, was devastated
when the Warrior passed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had a whole bunch, man. And then they had different ones now too, which is crazy. Now they're like, so big shout outs to Brian Myers and Matt Cardona, who are popular professional wrestlers who are also action figure, WWE action figure, just pundits. I mean, they have a podcast called the Major Figures Pod, where they talk about toy collecting and just buying different toys and, you know, what the history behind them all and who they have on. And they would get original spec art. I mean, these guys are top tier collectors.
Yeah.
And so I would just listen for hours and they would break these things down. And they even talked about how certain the cards were different as well. So if you had like a yellow card version or a green card version, those would be worth more money. Or you would have the Kamala. There was two different types of versions of the Ungodan giant, the Kamala. So they had one that was just the stars on his belly. And then they had one where it was the moon. And the moon belly Kamala is extremely rare and super pricey on the internet.
I used to love that shit.
So now this version of Bret the Hitman Hart that I have, is there were two versions of this when it came out in 1992. It's the same thing. It's 1992, Bret the Hitman Hart with the heart attack punch, right? Now, but there's two different paint variants, right? Could you guess the paint variant if just by looking at the figure?
Okay, this one.
What do you think the paint variant would
like
be?
Like a blue?
No, it is the most smallest minute detail, right? So this one is the purple heart
on his
singlet.
Yeah.
Then they have one that it's the same exact toy, just with a pink heart. They sold two of the same figure.
That is very minute difference.
But they released them. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's really interesting.
And then my brother, who is obsessed with The Undertaker, by Series 4 in 92, we also have The Undertaker downstairs as well. They also had two different rings. We didn't have the King of the Ring ring. We had the old school classic blue wrestling ring. But they had several different variants of Hulk Hogan. They had several different variants of Macho Man. And they had several different variants of The Ultimate Warrior. Those were the ones that they constantly did. And the Kamala one, they had two different Kamalas. They had the Star Belly and the Moon Belly. And the Moon Belly is very expensive, like I said before.
Uh-huh.
And then they have ones like the 1-2-3 Kid and Nails that are just very, very expensive. And then they have three different versions of Mail-Aways as well. So they had a Mail-Away Undertaker with a coat, same figure. They had Hulk Hogan Mail-Away, that it's just him and a red, like just red tights and a red t-shirt.
Okay.
With a full bandana. And they had Hulk Hogan with silver writing on the t-shirt. And then they had a Mail-Away hit, Bret the Hitman Hart. Same figure, just a different color.
They also had a Hulk Hogan where there was a Mail-Away for Bubba the Love Sponge's wife.
Yes, there was.
And the sushi.
Yeah, too much sushi. That's my favorite part of that whole game.
Too much sushi. Well, fuck, man. These figures are so expensive now.
That's amazing.
Especially really. The ones on card, because a lot of these wrestlers are dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So you can't have that. But then also, too, when you talk about like with guys like Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, they're also getting the spec art, and they're getting these, they're getting the prototypes. For some of them, and they're paying like top dollar for these prototypes, which is absolutely incredible to me. Like they have an unreleased one that I would love to get. And Vin, if you look it up, I'm curious to know what it would be. The unreleased Greg the Hammer Valentine Rhythm and Blues Greg Valentine.
Uh-huh.
What does that go for? Because they also have these things called two ups. Do you know what a two up is, Mike?
No.
A two up is something like, maybe like, I don't know, like 12 inches.
Uh-huh.
And it's the figure extremely detailed of what it's going to look like in its miniature form.
Oh, yes, I have seen though. I have heard of that.
So now there's a market for the two-ups.
Right.
Now
it was something in the design. You would make it larger and then shrink it.
Yes.
So you get the details right as it was larger.
I think Bret the Hitman Hart, which is why I always find Bret so fascinating, was because you could tell that he was also one of the guys that they were investing in.
Uh-huh.
They would do different variants of Bret, but with different details. Like when they changed his gear around, instead of just the heart on the tights, and I'm sorry I'm going into this. This is I know this is insane.
No, it's good.
He had a heart with a skull with wings.
Okay.
In his like series 8. And they had two different versions of elbow pads. They had pink elbow pads and they had black elbow pads.
Okay.
The black elbow pads are worth a lot more money for some reason.
Probably less of them.
Probably, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they were from the red card back. If they continued this line, they had a whole bunch of other ones that they wanted to do. Again, more variants. More Brutus the Beefcake, another Sid Justice, another Andre the Giant. They had two versions of Shawn Michaels. They have a figure called Nails. Nails is very expensive.
Uh-huh.
To find Nails, very expensive. 1-2-3 Kid is another one that they just didn't make a lot of them.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. And I was going to do, and I didn't bring it in, as another side one, but I have something I'll show you later that I think you'll pop for. The WCW Galoob figures. Where the WCW was WWF's counterpart. They were their rivals.
Yeah.
They were solid masses of plastic, but this size.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a whole nother just deep dive to buy expensive figures because internationally they had different variants. So the wrestling figure game, extremely expensive.
Yeah, I could see that.
I trust me, I want them like a degenerate.
All right, so we're down to number one, but I have a few honorable mentions.
Okay.
So this was on my list, but I feel like it has to be mentioned.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah. Original?
No, this is not an original.
That looks great.
So something that a lot of people don't realize is Mark Taylor worked on Ninja Turtles as well. So there's Masters Universe flavor in the Ninja Turtles toys, especially in the action poses, like the crouching and stuff, or the very weird, like, kneeling pose that the Shredder figure had. So we had to mention that. And this is another one. This is one of my favorite Masters of the Universe figures, but this is from a part of the series that part of version people don't really know a lot. This is Ram Mam from the Netflix CGI series.
Ram Mam.
Ram Mam, which is their version of Ram Man. I did an episode of PCMC on that series. Go look it up. It was really interesting because it was like, it was less of a reboot, more like a remix. It took everything of Master Universe and it remixed it in these different ways. And Ram Man became Ram Mam, who was just really interesting, like with the jetpacks on her legs and the like stone on her head. I just think it's a very interesting looking toy. But my number one, and you know, this might be disappointing to you guys because, in fact, some people find this to be a bad figure, but it's important to me.
Take it out of its little protective.
Please do it.
Of course, I'm talking about 1995 Luke Skywalker.
He did it.
Power of the Force.
He did it.
Wow, that's an orig?
It is, actually. It is. It's not the original one I had, but I went and got one. Wow. This is an original. Now,
he's jacked, too.
So that's the thing that people make fun of about it. But I like it because he looks like they look in the poster.
Okay.
He looks like that original poster where he's got Princess Leia next to him and he's got his lightsaber up.
Jackson.
I loved it. And I have to say, this was my first Star Wars figure ever. So I got into it. And then before they even had it in stores, you could order them through the Star Wars Insider magazine. And I ordered him and he came with a lightsaber and a grappling hook gun. And in fact, they did a variant later on where the lightsaber was shorter, but the original lightsaber was really long. And that one's more rare. That one's harder to find. That's actually this one. I don't have it with. That's this guy. So he's, you know, there's not a lot of bells and whistles to him, but he's a Luke Skywalker. You fucking need him.
You need him.
He's deep in my heart.
Of course.
Look at him. Look at him. He's just ready for adventure. The call for adventure is calling him right now.
He's calling his ample bosom.
Yeah. He's got it. Look at him. He's got an ample bosom that's ripped up. He's showing a little junk in the trunk in his tunic.
Listen.
I mean, he stands very well. He's looking. Yeah. He could do push-ups.
He can push up.
But is this a toyetic? But when you say toyetic, right?
This is, so to me, is it toyetic?
That's a great question.
Maybe not. But he inspired such play in me. I got a lot of play out of him. I would, in my definition of toyetic, I would call him toyetic. I also, he doesn't look like Mark Hamill, but for the time, 1995, that's a fairly good face sculpt.
Yeah.
Without
a
using.
Very good face sculpt.
Without using.
Mid-90s.
Yeah. Without using digital technology, like, that's a very good face sculpt.
Guys, look at that. Look at that face sculpt.
Yeah. Vincent, you're number two, or you're number one, please.
Number one is.
Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Well, because they had the mini Stretch Armstrong. Oh,
okay.
Too.
Yes, absolutely.
And as a bonus, don't forget his nemesis, Backman.
I had him. He was cool.
Backman was very cool. People don't know Stretch Armstrong is like this figure, but the arms and legs were like almost like putty. But like if you
it's
ever
like
cut
silicone
open,
it's silicone inside.
It's cornstarch.
Oh, really?
It's like dyed cornstarch, like liquid. Like, not cornstarch, the syrup, high
corn
fructose
syrup.
Corn syrup.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
And basically, like, that allowed it so you could, like, stretch his arms and legs like they were putty. Like, you know, it said on the box, like, you know, stretch a foot long or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Vacman's whole thing was you would put, like, a bicycle pump looking thing into his head.
And he could stay stretched.
And he can stay stretched. So, like, you basically... He'd be regular size, and as you pump the air out of him, it would, like, squeeze
and
it,
he had, like, beans inside of him, like a bean bag.
Beans inside of him so that when you take the air out, it, like, squeezed him, and, like, everything became constricted, and the beans would basically, like, stack up to make him, like, taller.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go look up the commercial if you're
Yeah.
Like, Stretch Armstrong was so much fun. You could...
And then you could whack your friend with the
whip him around like
no with the thing to the pump.
Oh yeah,
the pump. You get hurt. You can do serious damage with that.
Yeah,
thing.
But like Stretch Armstrong was great to introduce to your other action figures.
Yes,
because again, like he could do weird stuff.
And,
with all your other figures.
And the one from the '90s was a revival, right? Because I think the original one was in the '60s.
The one in the '60s and '70s looked like really boring. It was just like a generic, like handsome man.
Yeah.
This one had like a little bit more to it. Still wasn't like insane.
Well, he had the shit eating grin on him with the blonde hair and the teeth. And he was wearing a crop top.
Like Israel cocaine addict. Israel cocaine addict.
He's real like Venice Beach kind of.
Yes. Yeah. That's cool. Stretch Armstrong. What did he ever have a cartoon or anything?
I don't know if he had a cartoon.
Somebody.
We all have the internet.
Somebody look that up for us and get back to us.
Yeah, let me see the Stretch Armstrong cartoon.
Mr. Google.
Mr. Google, tell us what it is. Everybody's on their phones just tippy-typing away to see whether or not Stretch
Armstrong is a cartoon. Well, there is, but it's like way after, in 2017.
Holy moly.
There was one for Netflix called Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters.
It has two seasons.
But like it looks like shit.
But did it look like the toy from the 90s?
Absolutely not.
Then no. I don't want to watch it then.
This is what their Stretch Armstrong, the guy in the blue in the middle.
No,
he's
good.
He's a high schooler named Jake Armstrong. Mm.
Shocker.
No, fuck that. Fuck you, Jake Armstrong.
A lab accident involving experimental chemical called Flexarium.
Flexarium.
Gives Jake, Nathan, and Ricardo incredible stretching, fight, and super strength abilities.
No thanks. Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters sounds like a mixtape. Like,
yeah. Stretch Armstrong and the Funky Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a... Emilio, you're number one,
look,
sir.
I think you know. Right?
Do we? I do.
How well do you know
me? I know you.
How well do you what know is me? It? How well do you know me?
Yeah, give it up. What is it?
He's had no Motu yet.
Of course.
He-Man.
Of course. Hermetically sealed. Yeah,
Mike, I'm
going to
let you open
bag.
It up, Mike.
Beautiful.
I'll let you open it up.
You
Mike.
Talk while I open them.
So, okay. So now I've been on a hunt.
This is original.
Brother, all of my toys have been original. Come on. Fucking disrespect the god like that.
The flex on him.
You know? So that is a Taiwan version. I don't know if you know the difference. So there were several different manufacturing companies that did these. So there was... I won't even get into the international versions, but there was two major ones, right? So you had
this guy has a hollow head.
Yes, he has a hollow head.
It feels very hollow.
That's the Taiwan version. So the Taiwan is the original eight Masters of the Universe with the eight back card. So the blister in the card was the eight back. This was the original, right? But then what they do is they have a Mexican version. Where Hasbro was also using Mexico to distribute because this toy line, don't put him on his head, please. Don't spin him around. This is the prize.
Please don't play with my toys.
No, this is the prize figure, buddy.
Okay.
And then they had a version from the Mexico manufacturers.
Yeah, it has real sugar.
That has just slight differences, okay? The slight difference is the color of the belt and the color of the head, okay?
It also has a waist. Did all the originals have that?
Yes.
Waist?
Yes.
So I haven't held an original He-Man so long.
Yeah. So you're holding that one. And then there's different versions of the shield as well, but this is everything is Taiwan on this one. I made sure when I kept this one.
So you got this recently though.
This one
he's original, but you got
He's
it.
Original. So do you remember when I was deep diving because of Eternia Dreams when they were doing their live sales during the pandemic? I got the original eight back, and even though I had these versions, they're still sitting in a toy box somewhere. Mine have destroyed the shit because, again, I played with the most powerful man in the universe.
Right.
But I wanted a pristine version, so I DM Alan, shout out to Alan of Attorney at Dreams, and I'm like, find me the best version you can. He was like, oh, I got you. He's like, this is all I do. And he was like, I made sure that all the accessories are line up with Taiwan as well. So they have those. And then the international versions are completely different. Like you'll see different hair colors in the scalp and you'll see different belts. It's a very tricky thing. So they have an 8 card and a 12 card. So all the stuff with the 12 card was later on when it started to blow up. So you get those from Mexico, but the Taiwan is the original. It's the 8 card.
I always loved his expression. Like
he's handsome man.
Very good on there with the flowing hair over his face.
He looks meaner and more barbaric in the figure.
Yes.
Than he did in the cartoon.
Yeah.
With like the very severe brow.
There's a Charles Bronson look to him.
Yeah. No, and what I like about this one
Charles Bronson.
And what I like about this one, the Taiwan hair is more orange, where like, the Mexico hair is more blonde.
What's this for? It's for jacking off.
I'm going to get you, Skeletor.
And then you have the swords and the axe.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then I got my cringer, and I got... So I want to show you this, too. Not to...
Not to flex.
Not to flex.
Too hard.
Is this what I think it is?
Bam.
Oh, my God.
Gwildor.
Billy Barty, baby.
Original Gwildor.
Original Gwildor.
I had him, too.
That is from the personal collection of Emilio Sparks when it first was bought for him for Christmas.
They only had three toys from the movie. Gwildor, Sarad.
Blade.
That was it.
Yeah.
No Frank Langella?
No, there was no He-Man for it, and there was no...
Have to use the other Frank Langella figure and make do.
Yeah.
I think I want
to... I have my Made in America.
I think what I want to... That's a great one. I think what I want to do with this He-Man figure is get it graded and put it in acrylic.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But that's reversible. Is that reversible?
Acrylic case. But once it's sealed, I want it graded, not because I want to sell it, but because I want to put it up in my editing bay office.
Beautiful.
It is a beautiful fig.
Beautiful. It can inspire you whenever you're like, I can't edit another minute.
Then look at me and be like, you have the power. You have the
power.
Now, let me ask you a serious question. Do you still have the cosmic key that came with him?
And I've been trying
That is an accessory that you
need. And I've been trying to find the cosmic.
I like that he's bigger than the wrestlers.
Well, he's Gwildor.
Big as two Ultimate Warriors.
I mean, because you have to create the tones, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
The tones.
All right, so since we've come to an end, I have a present for both of you guys.
Do I close my eyes?
One for you.
Oh, my God.
And one for you.
Oh, baby.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Those are...
What do you got, babe? Which one you got?
Same one.
Skeletor.
How'd you get you what was on my list? Those are brand new Walmart exclusive Mighty Masters. They are... slightly scaled down.
Dog.
Beautiful figures.
Dog.
They're beautiful.
No,
they're great.
Thank you. So I was actually going to buy these.
They're great.
Thank you. Oh, I'm very touched by this. I'm not going to open it either.
No, it's beautiful the way it is.
Well, you know what? We have a gift
for you.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
This is. I feel like I'm Nardwar right now. This is so conjure your mind back to the pandemic.
Okay.
So before the pandemic happened, we were still doing a podcast called WrestleRap.
Mm-hmm.
And we were recording live in Emilio's basement.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. This was like a month before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And listener of this podcast and also WrestleRap, Rito.
Happy birthday, Rito.
Happy birthday, Rito. It is his birthday, the day that we're recording this. So it's very apt that we're doing this. He sent us a care package.
Yes, I remember.
And we got stuff and he had something in there for you, but...
And we're giving it to you 8 years later.
It got to you because the world shut down and then we lost track of things.
Yeah.
Right. And you like lost it for a while, right?
Yes.
Because I've asked you about it.
Yes, but I recently found it.
Amazing.
When I was looking for these toys today.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, Michael, we're re-gifting Rito's gift.
Well, thank you.
To you.
Rito.
To you.
Beautiful.
It's a die-cast metals Ecto-1.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Right? How thoughtful is that guy?
Rito's the best.
Oh, it's got weight. It does got weight. Yeah. It is great.
And its little door's open.
And it's highly detailed.
It is gorgeous.
You going to open it up?
It is gorgeous. I think I might.
Or are you going to keep it in? Because it hasn't been open for 8 years.
But it's not great condition, the box. Yeah. So that kind of
Rito. Sorry, Rito.
That begs to, you know.
Well, he did mail it from New England.
Open me and play with me.
You should keep it on your desk. Wow, I find it so uncomfortable to open up anything.
Really?
Yeah.
What about opening up your heart? Have you thought of that?
No, that's dead.
You remember Christmas morning shit like this, and your dad being like, "What do you want? What do you need me to do?
We need triple A's,
Dad. How do I do it? This is beautiful. Look at the doors open. this has just been a joyous episode of PC.
No.
Come on, everybody.
Honorable mention, because I feel I would be remiss.
If we did not mention it at least once.
Right, you have to, because everything we did was from the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
And I really got into collecting third-party Transformer figures.
Uh-huh.
So I go on like this website called ShowZ.
Uh-huh.
And I'll also watch Jabby the Han review these toys.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And they are the most complicated things to try to transform.
Yeah.
So I don't do them, but I love the these are called the Masterpiece series.
It's beautiful.
Now, this is from a company called Magic Square. I'm not a big fan of Magic Square. I like fan toys. Yeah. Because they use a lot more die-cast, and the sound blaster that I have in my room is very heavy. There's a die-cast to it.
Yeah.
But the sculpts of these things are incredible. This is a sculpt on the MP... It's take on the MP44, which is a Takara Tomy version from Hasbro official release.
Uh-huh.
So, this is a very odd, specific, and expensive collection to try to get into, but I would be remiss to do that. So then... I ordered from Hasbro, shout out to Big Bad Toy Store for coming through, the Takara Tomy version of what they call the Masterpiece series.
Uh-huh.
The Masterpiece series is basically the original concept from the 1980s.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to open this up because you guys know me. We don't open anything up. Yeah. But Vin, if you guys want to Google it real quick to see what they look like, okay. It is a take on the G1. Just made with die-cast from the 80s, but with better articulation. Oh. This is the box that it comes in.
Wow, it doesn't even have a window.
And this is the box that it shall remain in.
There could be nothing.
No, there is. It's factory sealed tape. Yeah. And just,
but don't you want to see?
Absolutely not, because I know what I got.
But you don't know. It's like
Schrodinger's
Transformer.
Yeah, same joke.
So Vin, explain what the box looks like.
It's just black. Like if you were getting a box of like government cheese, like it's just like a black box with Helvetica font that just says CO1 Transformer.
Yeah, Convoy One. That's what it stands for. This is just from
there's not even a picture of it on there.
It doesn't matter. I bought it. I know what it is.
There could be a chunk of shit in there.
But there's not a chunk of shit because it's officially from a Hasbro release from Takara Tomy.
Guys, this episode's going on an hour and a half.
All right.
A little long in the tooth.
All right, we'll go bye-bye.
We're going to give this away to one lucky.
Oh, fuck, we are. Trust me, there's an episode somewhere here.
What if I just tore it out of your hands and ripped it open?
Would
you fight me physically?
I would headbutt you.
What if we give it to Rito, guys?
What if we just...
I would give it to Rito, but I would headbutt you.
Rito, if you really want it, slip it
but
to
Rito's Emilio's. A good brother, and he's like, nah, Emilio's...
Nah, if you want it, don't be afraid to ask.
Don't be afraid to ask.
Well, this has been PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. Thank you so much for being here. Emilio.
Don't open your toys. Never open them.
Hey, live your life. You're going to die someday. Vincent, how are you?
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.